This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Gretchen. It's great to be back in the incredible Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Great place. And this is my 13th visit to Pennsylvania during my administration, which is more than any other president to this point in the term. And I really love Pennsylvania. I went to school in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. So we love this state. And I love the unions and I love the workers. And, you know, when I built buildings in New York, I built them exclusively with union. People don't understand that. I was exclusive. And in the last really great election, our election of 2016, you know, we did great with the union workers, great. But we didn't do good with the leadership. The leadership said, well, we've always gone Democrat. Let's keep going that way. That didn't work out too well for some of them, I want to tell you. I'll tell you. And as Gretchen said, this would have never happened without me and us. This would have never happened. So I'm with you. I'm with you.
That was the president week in Pennsylvania. He was at a petrochemical plant, and the New York Times slammed the event, saying workers have three options: attend Trump's speech, use paid time off, or receive no pay. Joining me now to discuss this, Michelle Christian is the regional administrator for the United States Small Business Administration. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Rich.
So I sent you this article over the weekend because I was curious in terms of, you were there at the event. I believe this was your event that you guys organized. So it sounded like everybody was having a good time, but the New York Times kind of really saying everybody was, in a sad place, I guess.
It was an amazing event. It was actually the Department of Energy and Secretary Perry was there, but other agencies such as the SBA were a part of it because this president actually is having federal agencies work together to help the economy as opposed to all the silos that have been going on in the past. So it was a great event. Everyone enjoyed themselves. Everyone loved it. And Trump really focused on President Trump focused on energy independence, and that's what this is about. And what had been happening in Appalachia, and basically Pennsylvania, in the Scranton area, the Midwest, everywhere, is that the jobs were gone. They're gone. And a lot of the reasons why jobs are gone is because of deregulation. Because the regulations that have been put in place by other administrations. We'll just leave it at that. It's been a long time coming.
Right. You can't say it, but I can say it. There was a war on coal by the previous administration and a war on fracking and a war on fossil fuels. And the president is now trying to overturn a lot of that, which is very smart politically in Pennsylvania.
It's amazing what it's doing for the folks out there. And it's all about energy independence for America. So it is having us keep our energy here and having us be the ones to send it overseas. So it's a win-win for everyone. And what this does, Rich, that's going to bring so many jobs to that area. All those manufacturing facilities that had closed in the past, they're all coming back. This cracker facility is building plastics. I'm not sure if everyone knows what a cracker facility is. But essentially, you know, a milk carton is made out of these plastics. So many things are made out of these plastics. So all of these companies now that are placed all over the world are going to settle in Beaver County, Pennsylvania because of this cracker facility. This is such a positive, positive moment for the people of Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia. I mean, this is going to change the region.
Now, the New York Times had a leaked memo which said the instructions to the workers at the Beaver County plant came in a memo that said, your attendance is not mandatory. This will be considered an excused absence. However, those who are not in attendance will not receive overtime pay on Friday, they say. And the Shell spokesman, Curtis Smith, confirmed workers were told they would also miss out on some overtime pay if they skip the event. All right. So then basically they said, look, you don't have to be here, but if you come here, we're going to take care of it. You're not going to lose any money for coming. And they certainly sounded like they were having a good time.
Can I just interrupt?
Sure.
Shocking. They had individuals get up there and speak who were workers at this facility, basically in tears, telling everyone what this is doing for their community. They have had generations lose their jobs. They are so excited to be able to work. What does everyone want? They want to work. They want to take care of their families. They want to be left alone. So this is government working with companies, working with deregulation so that people can support their families. That's all anyone wants. And the bigger part of this is what I was saying before, is the jobs that are going to come because of this. It's amazing. When people got up there and spoke at this rally, they didn't just speak about having the job at the cracker. They spoke about now having a restaurant. And that's where the Small Business Administration comes in. All of those smaller jobs, for every one energy job, there's about 3 to 5 small business jobs. And that is really, you know, my I love to tout small business is the backbone of the economy, but it's so true. Rich, when you go to the Little League game, I don't know if Patrick's playing Little League yet, but who's on the back of that jersey? It's small businesses. And when a big energy facility like that plants themselves in rural Pennsylvania, all the small businesses come around it. And it's just, it was so positive that I wish everyone could have seen how excited folks were to get up there and tell the president and tell all the individuals from the different agencies just really what the big impact that this is having on their community.
Michelle Christian's with me. She is the regional administrator for the United States Small Business Administration, a presidential appointee. Michelle, you travel all over this region, and I know that you've been to West Virginia, you've been to places like that. It seems to me that what a lot of people forget as they talk about the economy, for example, they talk about, you know, is a recession coming? I don't think it is. I think a lot of that's fear mongering. But they always say on the news, you'll hear people that say, but the economic success has not reached the average worker. But it sounds like what you're saying, not only has it reached those workers, but even I'd say more importantly, it's reached those communities where towns that have been devastated by the energy war have now started to make a comeback.
It has reached everywhere. So my region, I have such a unique region, and Pennsylvania is really a microcosm of the entire United States. We have, you know, Pittsburgh, we have Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, we have Philly, we have smaller communities. I'm sitting in Erie right now. It's just, we have this vast rural area. So it's really interesting to see that regardless of whether you're suburban, rural, or urban, the policies that are coming out of this administration are, it's a game changer. It's really changing the way that people work and survive and can just take care of their families. And, you know, the workforce issue, President Donald Trump is really focused on the trades and apprenticeships. And so it's not just, oh, you need to go to college and we're focused on that. The whole policy of Donald Trump just wants you to be able to take care of your family, and he wants your community safe. This president wants you to be able to walk outside and go to your job, come back, bring your kids to a clean, safe, drug-free community, and it's all, it's a holistic approach, and I think it's different. And what I said earlier with these agencies not working in silos, I'm at the Small Business Administration. I am in contact with all the other agencies all of the time. And when we go to these communities and we listen to their stories of now they are, you know, they had 5 employees and now they have 30 employees. They're giving bonuses out thanks to the tax cut bill. We get to go back as a federal agency, as a group of us, and figure out how can we make sure this continues? How can we sustain this? It's not just about this one cracker plant. It's about putting a couple more. Because if we could spread these out and keep them here in America, it's energy independence. It's manufacturing independence. It's keeping the jobs here, and it's making people have pride in everything that they do.
The executive order that the White House put out on April 10th, the executive order on promoting energy infrastructure and economic growth, talks about how the United States is blessed with plentiful energy resources, including abundant supplies of coal, oil, and natural gas. Now, it seems to me, from the perspective of the president, I know you're not a political person, so I'm not going to ask you to get political, but it certainly seems like as 2020 approaches, the president's doubling down on these resources, where it seems as if his opponents are doing the opposite again. They want to reignite those wars that they've had to deal with in the past, the war on coal, war on fracking, the war on natural gas. Did any of the workers who were there last week bring that up in terms of the struggle that they had to go through in the past?
The past was definitely something that was brought up. And quite honestly, as I travel around Appalachia, that's the number one issue that is brought up. When we hold roundtables, either in West Virginia or Pennsylvania with workers, they were in despair in the past. And really, the deregulation is the game changer, right? Because it was closing down. It was making it just too difficult. And small business for the Small Business Administration is 500 employees or less. So I would meet with business owners that have 100 employees down to maybe 10. Think about it. If you are a business with 10 employees and you have to hire one employee just to deal with the red tape, How in the world are you going to survive? How in the world are you going to have to pay that person to do? They're not working. They're just dealing with government red tape. It doesn't make any sense. No one's going to grow, and we want every business to grow and succeed. And I really believe the deregulation and President Trump in his first year, for every one new regulation that was put on the books, he got rid of 22. That's outrageous that there was even 22 for every one new one to get rid of.
I agree. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the economy is doing so well. Michelle Christian, if people need the help of the Small Business Administration, where can they find you?
They should definitely email me. Very easy. Michelle.Christian@SBA.gov, spelled like everyone thinks. Michelle.Christian@SBA.gov.
I thought there's only one L in your name.
No, there is not, Rich.
I think you're wrong on that. All right, we'll check. Michelle Christian, the Regional Administrator of the Small Business Administration, thanks for coming on. Keep up the good work and your travels. We appreciate it.
Great, thanks.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, just a reminder, Walter Kosh, our promotions czar, is down in Claymont, Delaware, by Total Wine & More with a Zioli Army shirt drop. All right, so go there and see him before he gives them all away. Very good. All right, 855-839-1210. So, a number of other things to cover for you today. But while I'm on the subject of the president, let me share with you what he said in his press conference yesterday. He gave an impromptu press conference outside of his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. And he spoke for almost an hour, actually. You know, as most dictators do, just comes over to the press and just starts talking with them. And as most dictators do, he talked about the people of Hong Kong and how he wants the people of Hong Kong to be recognized and to be free. Now, he's got to be very careful. He can't come out and necessarily take their side. But he did give some very stern warnings to China. You see all these protests going on in Hong Kong, and they want to be free. They want to be independent of China. And what's happening over there is making a lot of people very nervous that China will respond in the way that China often does with dissent, which is violence. So the president spoke out on this point. Cut 12.
Do you support the principles of the protesters, the pro-democracy?
Well, I'll tell you what I do support. I support liberty. I support democracy. I understand what's going on very well over there. I'd love to see it worked out in a humane fashion. And I think they have a great chance of doing it. Look, I put out and I told you that I really believe I have a confidence in the talents of President Xi. I believe if President Xi sat down with representatives of the protesters, and they do have representatives, pretty good representatives, pretty strong representatives. I've been watching and seeing them. If he sat down, I think he'd work something out, and I think it would be good for everybody. But it does put pressure on the trade deal. If they do something negative, it puts pressure. Now, that deal I can sign by myself. It's structured, so I don't have to go to Congress. But I respect Congress. I respect the views of Congress, and I respect, most importantly, the views of the people of our country. And I think it would be much harder for me to sign a deal if he did something violent.
Now, there you go. Doesn't sound exactly like a dictator to me. I mean, it's not the kind of stuff that Pol Pot used to say or Stalin. He supports democracy and independence and freedom and warning China. Look, I mean, he basically came out and said, if you do anything violent, if you don't figure out a way to work this out, then the deal's off the table. He also said he respects Congress. I mean, this is my frustration with the media so often and critics alike. It's one thing to criticize policy, but it's another thing to come out and start alleging he's a dictator when clearly this is not the language of a dictator. Now, the president was also asked about Afghanistan. He was talking about pulling the troops out. I hope he does. In my opinion, we've been there way too long. I know the Lindsey Grahams of the world will say we have to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. I disagree fundamentally on that point. I think the president disagrees on that point, too. But he obviously has a lot of people in his ear who represent the military and the interests of people keeping us there for a very, very long time. Cut 13.
What's the argument for staying? I think just that we've been there for 19 years. We're like a police force, and that's about it, frankly. I think it's very important that we continue intelligence there in all cases, because it is somewhat of a nest for hitting us. If you look at what happened with the World Trade, it essentially came out of Afghanistan. Most of the people, I think, they may not have come from Afghanistan originally, but that's where they were taught.
So there's a big argument to be made, and I buy that argument. You know, it's very tough when somebody says, well, this is a big breeding ground, and it is a breeding ground. And we have things under control very well with a small force. We can probably make it a little bit smaller, and then we'll decide. It'll depend on the Taliban. It'll depend on the Afghan government. But there is a case to be made. And the case also is that we're going to be leaving very significant intelligence behind for just the reasons I stated.
Now, the other point the president made was regarding Greenland and buying Greenland, which, again, he's getting mocked for this left and right all over the place. But I pointed this out earlier in the show. There's a lot of strategic interest in why the United States has been pursuing and pursued in the past buying Greenland from the Dutch. It's nothing to do with some creating a golf course, but there were strategic interests for United States security and also for economic reasons as well.
Well, Greenland, I don't know, it got released somehow. It's just something we talked about. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting. And we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that. Well, a lot of things could be done. I mean, essentially, it's a large real estate deal. A lot of things could be done. It's hurting Denmark very badly because they're losing almost $700 million a year carrying it. So they carry it at a great loss. And strategically for the United States, it would be nice. And we're a big ally of Denmark, and we help Denmark, and we protect Denmark, and we will. In fact, I'm supposed to stop. I'm thinking about going there. I'm not necessarily definitely going there, but I may be going. We're going to Poland, and then we may be going to Denmark. Not for this reason at all, but we're looking at it. It's not number one on the burner.
Ironically, the single biggest reason why the United States would want to buy Greenland would be so that Russia does not control all of the North Sea shipping. And Russia and China essentially would corner that market. We've wanted Greenland since going back to the 1860s. At one point, we wanted to try to acquiesce Canada. We wanted to Canada become part of the United States. Thank God we didn't do that, because then we'd be inundated with their awful bacon, their fake bacon. But thank God. But at the time, we did, and we thought if we had Greenland, that would put more pressure on Canada to join the United States of America. And so the notion being, and then there was a time where we wanted it to protect us against the Soviet Union as a landing point for bombers. We wanted that as well in the Second World War. Now, the main reason, there's two reasons. Number one would be to ensure that Russia does not monopolize all the North Sea shipping lanes, Russia and China. So again, if you were to argue, and I said this earlier, if somebody came out and said the United States has an opportunity to buy Greenland, but Trump said no, everybody would be saying it's because he's a Russian stooge, you see. He doesn't want to hurt Vladimir's shipping lanes. He doesn't want to have the United States compete with Russia on owning those access lanes in the north. But because now the media is full of it and you know he's not a Russian stooge, then they come out and say he's just crazy. The other big reason why you may want Greenland, and again, I'm not pushing for this. I don't know enough about it to say one way or the other, but the Brookings Institution, which is a left-leaning think tank. They put out a study years ago, 2014, The Greenland Gold Rush, Promise and Pitfalls of Greenland's Energy and Mineral Resources. And they say here, as the Arctic ice continues to melt due to global warming, Greenland's mineral and energy resources, including iron ore, lead, zinc, diamonds, gold, rare earth elements, uranium, and oil, are becoming more accessible. The political establishment in Greenland has made natural resource extraction a central part of its plans to become economically self-sufficient and ultimately politically independent. All right. So now they have a rapidly aging population in Greenland and really not a growing place in the world. But they talk about how it's going to be so rich with natural resources in the future. There'll be hydrocarbon development, commercial oil production, which could occur at least in a decade. And there's a number of other reasons, too, in terms of extracting for the rare minerals and that sort of thing. But now, you look at it from those two perspectives, from the perspective of all the natural resources, the perspective of ensuring that Russia does not monopolize the North Sea shipping lanes. And you turn around and you go, well, maybe it's not a crazy idea. Again, I'm not saying he should do it. I'm just saying it's probably not a crazy idea to explore it, since the United States has been exploring it since the 1860s. I'm just pointing out how the media reports on things. You know, the media reports on he's exploring it because he's a nut. He's crazy and he wants Greenland. But had he come out right away and said, Greenland, no way. What are you, nuts? And the media would talk about how this is because he doesn't want to interfere with Russia. Because Russia wants to dominate those shipping lanes and he doesn't want to get involved. And you'd have the chirping hens on The View all going on about another example. We've been trying to get Greenland forever, but here he comes along with his interest in Russia and says no. That's the bias of the media that I'm trying to enlighten you about. It's that point right there. It's how that lens is viewed. On one day they'll say he's a Russian asset, the next he's crazy. This is a clear example of the president is looking at a policy. He's not the first one to ever do this. At least four different presidential administrations have explored the point of acquiescing Greenland through some way, shape, or form. All right? At least four administrations, Republican and Democrat, I should mention. Bipartisan administration. But to report it today, he's just a nut. Just a nut who decides, let's buy Greenland. What the hell? And they leave out any of the advantages of doing so. And the biggest advantage being it blocks Russia. It blocks China. So, just one of those things that just kind of irks me that I got to get off my chest. 855-839-1210. Unless maybe the left and the media doesn't actually believe in climate change and doesn't believe the icebergs are melting, the ice is melting in Greenland, in which case they don't think there'll be all these minerals to extract and all of these fossil fuels to be able to go get. I mean, that's possible, too. Because if you believe in climate change and you think that all the ice is melting up there, that would probably be the perfect opportunity to buy Greenland and see what's under that ice. See what goodies you have there. I'm just saying.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
I understand now our promotions czar, Walter Koch, is back on the line. Walter.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Great, Walter. How are you?
Good. I'm all out of shirts.
Out of shirts. Wow. There you go. How long did it take you, Walter?
I wasn't tracking that much. I would say probably about 40.
No,
minutes.
This was
40.
It wasn't 40 minutes.
No way. Was it 40 minutes?
I can't remember the last. I couldn't remember what time we actually connected.
All right.
So I was on hold for a while.
You were on hold for a while. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll make sure we expense those minutes, okay, with Entercom. We'll get those minutes back, all right? Any overage charges?
Yeah.
How many shirts did you give away, Walter?
Upwards of, like, easily between 60 to 70.
Wow. Excellent.
Delaware representing.
Delaware coming out strong for the Zeoli Army. Look at that. Now, Walter, did you have to take any names of people who couldn't get a shirt today for size issues or something?
No.
Okay.
Two people.
Very good. Way to create the drama of who showed up and wanted them but couldn't get them.
Two people.
And you can just say yes. Lots and lots of people. But,
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so what are you going to buy some stuff in Delaware while you're there? Save some sales tax?
I might, yeah. There's something called 495 down here. I see size for it.
Yeah.
Is that like a gateway to the quantum realm? I never heard of 495 before.
Go drive it. See what happens.
I'll see where you wind up. In a couple of years.
You'll hit Baltimore eventually.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So you could do a shirt drop there. All right, Walter, this has been fun. Thank you for doing all this for us. We appreciate it. Walter Koch.
Have a good day.
All right. It's magnetic, Dawn, isn't it? It's contagious,
yes,
his enthusiasm.
He's high energy this morning.
Contagious. Did anyone come up, Walter? They wanted shirts. You didn't have them? No. Yeah, two people. All right, two
people.
You had
to think about it.
Oh, man. Greg, can you just coach him a little bit on maybe making it seem bigger? Is it possible?
I mean, I can.
Just uncoachable.
I mean, he's only been doing this for 3 months. You know, we've been doing it every week for 3 months.
The thing, he really is excited. It's just his person. He's very laid back because he has like all those kids. You know what I mean? I think he's just used to being laid back. But
are you blaming his kids?
Yeah, blame the children. He has to have an even keel with all those kids.
That's a good point, Dawn. That's a very, very good point. You got an even keel right there.
Yeah,
you know,
gotta be calm.
Well, that's good. He does enjoy that. People love seeing him too. They like taking pictures with Walter. And the number one question I keep getting all the time is he the Unabomber? No, he's not. But
Yeah, he got recognized at the Phillies game the other night when we were there for the Zioli Army Phillies night game. And
He
was thrilled by it.
Very nice. Excellent. Well, it's 8:02. Dawn, good morning. How are we doing? How are we looking?
Good morning. It's hot. 79 degrees already with a high of 94 today. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Zioli Show News brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. So new stricter alcohol rules are going into effect for pilots at United. So no alcohol for 12 hours before a flight. It's sort of like intermittent fasting, but with alcohol. So,
which I don't believe in either.
So this after the arrest of those two alleged liquored up United pilots in Scotland. So the federal government requires 8 hours, but United is going to 12.
12 hours.
Yes.
All right. That's a long time, though, to go between, you know, drinks and, I mean, it's a long time.
No drinks because of those two. So the FDA unveiling graphic health warnings. People are already complaining this has gone viral. Graphic health warnings it wants to add to cigarette packaging and labels to deter people from smoking. So these proposed warning labels show some pretty gross images showing what the FDA calls the lesser known consequences of smoking, like cancerous tumors, like on your toes and fingers, COPD, lost limbs, macular degeneration. So they want to show pictures of like this guy's toes and some of the toes fell off and they're like black and gray and
eyes. And they want to put his toes on the cigarette pack?
Right on your cigarette pack.
No, nobody wants to see that. Come on.
It's just nasty.
Good God.
So a lot of people might be headed to the shore this week because it is hot. We have a heat wave. But researchers who tag great white sharks, say this is a record shark season in the Atlantic.
Good.
So the vast majority of the sightings are near beaches on a stretch of outer Cape Cod facing the open Atlantic. So at least it's not the Jersey Shore. But the scientists with the nonprofit Atlantic White Shark Conservancy say that they want to stress that shark attacks on humans by great whites are rare, but we have some 300 great whites lurking our coast.
You go in the water. Sharks in the water. Shark.
So also,
well, now we know the movie tomorrow. Dawn, by the way, I have a story here in my formerly shark tail stained fingers. The real reasons why sharks attack humans is from the BBC.
Uh-oh.
All right. You want to guess?
I don't know. Because they're bleeding. They have a wound.
Wound's good. They think it's a fish, right? You know, if you saw Jaws, they think it's probably a fish.
They think you're a seal because you're on a board.
That's right. You go in the water, sharks in the water. Our shark, right? Well, also, because of climate change, Dawn, see, there's less habitats out there.
Oh.
And so what happens now is the sharks are starving. So they start swimming closer to people because of climate change, and they start trying to eat you, Dawn. So again, we can blame climate change for the rise of great white shark attacks.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Residents in New Jersey also want justice for Popeye the Peacock, who died over the weekend after somebody shot the beloved community mascot. So this is a peacock that everybody knew in town. So residents rallying together to bring justice for Popeye to this beloved bird, raising over $2,000 on GoFundMe as a reward for any information on who shot the peacock.
Why would somebody shoot a little bird like that?
I know.
That's terrible.
Well, the thing with peacocks is they're noisy. The reason the communities get them is because they're like, they make these really obnoxious loud noises.
Wait, I'm sorry, what do they make? What is that now?
They're like a watchdog.
Oh, they're like a watchdog, but they're
but
a peacock.
They're a peacock, and they do this loud screech thing.
A watch peacock?
Yeah.
Oh.
See? So
all
maybe
right.
It was a burglar or something. I don't know.
Maybe a bad guy shot the little peacock. Terrible.
Could be.
Oh, we
Gotta
went into a pet store yesterday, and my kids got to hold a bearded dragon.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know those little reptile things.
Yeah, and they carry salmonella, by the way. So.
Oh, well, now you tell me. I should have had them wash their hands before they ate, I guess. Oh, well.
Ooh.
But they were so cute, these little things. They were super friendly to people. I'm thinking I might get them a little dragon as a pet.
They carry salmonella.
Oh, stop. So does chicken.
Hey, speaking of the bearded little dragon, going viral, this Florida woman, she was pulled over during a traffic stop. And at first, the police see that she has all these turtles. So it turns out she has 40 turtles inside a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpack. And then the cops are like, what are you doing? She's trying to sell all these reptiles. So they say, you got anything else? And she reaches into her tight yoga pants and pulls out a foot-long alligator
wow.
in the front of her pants.
In her pants?
Yoga pants.
And did the cops say, are you just happy to see me, or is that a 4-foot alligator in your pocket?
So it was like they called animal control. It didn't wow. bite her or anything. I guess it liked being in the yoga pants.
All right, there you go.
There you have it.
I mean, wouldn't you like being in a nice, cozy pair of yoga pants?
I guess so.
Right.
So Zioli's been talking about Greenland, but what about Iceland? There was a funeral over the weekend for a glacier. So the people had poetry and silence and, of course, political speeches about the need to fight climate change. Yes, in Iceland. So this was a glacier named Okjökull, and Jökull is the name for glacier. So now they're saying okay, because they're taking off the Jökull.
Oh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're saying goodbye, okay.
Okay, so okay. not okay anymore.
Not
the
okay.
The glacier is not okay,
glacier
Dawn.
They had a funeral for it.
Goodbye, glacier. Is the glacier goodbye. Gone, or they think the glacier's
it's
just going
like
to go?
Melted.
Melted, the whole glacier.
The whole thing.
All right.
Melted.
That's too
it
bad.
It is by a volcano. Anyway, finally, there's a Welsh town, and it's installing high-tech toilets to deter certain activities by sounding an alarm and then spraying the user with a cold blast of water. So this is in Wales' southern coastline. They're spending about $200,000 on technologically advanced toilets at a park called Griffin Park that will reportedly include security features to limit, quote, inappropriate sexual activity on the toilets as well as vandalism. So if you're so they're going to have a weighted floor. So if you're heavy, this will go off, unfortunately. And the sensors automatically open the stall doors, sound a high pitch alarm, spray you with water jets if they think that you're too heavy, or they think there's more than one person in the stall doing something they shouldn't be doing.
You know, I once asked Dr. Maz if you can get a sexually transmitted disease from a toilet seat. You know what he said?
What?
If you have sex on a toilet, an unprotected person who's got a disease. Yes.
See? So put on pump.
There you go.
Eyewitness weather. We do have this heat wave right now. It'll feel like 102 degrees today with the heat index.
102?
Yes. It's hot. So be
it's
careful.
It's hot out there. It's hot every day.
So it is hot every day until we finally will get some storms that move in, I think Wednesday night, and then Thursday is going to be 86. So Thursday's going
to
feel like
it. You know what it feels like to me, Dawn? It feels like we are living in a jungle lately. It's so the humidity is just so freaking oppressive.
That's it. You go out, it's just like wet.
Yeah, it's just wet. And that's I can't even be outside. I mean, it's just not fun to be outdoors anymore in this humidity.
Yes.
The heat, I can say, people go, well, it's like this every day in Arizona. But I don't think they have that humidity.
They don't. It's the dry heat.
Yeah.
So the summer's hottest destination, closer than you think. Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz summer event today for an incredibly priced Mercedes-Benz. Go to mbusa.com/summer-event or just visit your local dealer for a test drive. Dawn with Zioli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Nice. Mike got his shirt. He just tweeted a picture of that. If you got a shirt or you have a shirt, please hashtag Zioli Army and tweet it out. Over the weekend, we had a Zioli Army sighting at the range, the firing range. So Snow Bunny Gal tweeted out. She said, Sunday fun day at the range. I've never seen this many young women here before, all being instructed on the proper use of firearm safety. And she hashtags Zioli Army, and she was in her Zioli Army shirt. Greg, I believe she would certainly, actually, let me do it. Dawn, I believe she would certainly classify for the ladies edition.
Definitely.
So we'll have to get her a ladies edition of the Zioli Army shirt at the range. Very nice.
Why did I get taken out of that?
Well, to protect you as a corporate shill. I don't want you, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Now that you're a corporate shill, I have to make sure that you...
I'm not a corporate shill, but thank you.
He's not.
Right.
But
right.
In being promoted, they're grooming Stalker.
They are.
To be a corporate overlord.
And you know what they're grooming me to be?
What?
Unemployed. So
it's going to be fun in the new building.
I can't wait till I get the final conversation. You have one chance to be woke or you're out. And that's the conversation I'm looking forward to. All right.
Nobody's going to have that conversation with you, Rich.
It's the woke final last straw.
Could it be fake? Is there such a thing as fake woke?
Can I be fake woke?
Just fake it?
I could. Yeah, I could probably do that, I'm sure, because I'm very good at faking things. I'm so good at pretending how I feel about something. Yes. I worry about certain things because of the times in which we live, but I can't change. I'm just me, so I have to just be me and hope that they don't notice. So I'm actually hoping that they don't listen. Is that a good way to put it?
Oh, man.
See, Don, how uncomfortable I make him?
I know.
He's a man torn between two worlds, Don.
No.
Torn between two worlds.
No, my world will always be this radio program. For my cold, dead hands, will they drag it from me?
You see, Greg Stocker was recently promoted to assistant program director when Spike Eskin was named program director of WPHT. So we're thrilled with Spike. We're thrilled with Greg. Everything's working great. But since then, Greg he's been told by corporate, you have to choose a team. Are you Team Zioli or Team Corporate Shill? And that, Dawn, is the biggest struggle for him every day.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
Yes, great point. You know? And we are the lesser child.
No, that's not.
He's going to give us up to the Nazis, Dawn.
I took this job with stipulations that I would continue to be on this program and that this will always be my first priority. And they agreed. So
Spike Eskin was named program director. He had one job: to suppress me, to keep me down from talking sports so that I could never take over for Angelo. His one job. And Greg's one job is to make sure that I become woke, Dawn. And I'm not going to have it, Dawn. I'm not going to let it happen.
Don't let it happen.
Stay unwoke.
You can't even kid about that these days because there's a former morning show who became woke. And we, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
that's
we don't want to. We can't even tease that because it's happened in this time slot before, maybe 7 years ago.
See, Dawn, the reason why I'm endorsing Elizabeth Warren for president
is not
America's mother-in-law. No, Greg's right, though. And we're only joking. Only joking. I can't possibly be changed. It's just who I am. But see, that's the thing, though, is that this is just me. I've always been this way. I wonder if other people were just putting on an act all along. You know what I mean? Like, no, but say Howard Stern, for example. Woke Howard Stern.
Yes.
How do you go your entire career being Howard Stern and then just suddenly become woke? You know what I mean?
I think it's because of his daughters.
You do?
Yeah. I think... Here's the thing. This is my theory, that he's getting bashed by his ex-wife, and so he's doing it for his daughters. That's what I think. It's for the children.
You don't think it's his therapist?
I don't believe that people can change that much, and we all listened to him for so many years.
Yeah.
I think, truthfully, he's putting this on for his kids. That's just my theory.
Interesting.
Because what would you do for your kids? So he poses with a kitten. He's now a sensitive dad, right? He's like, I'm a sensitive dad.
Right.
Because he wants to look good to his daughters. That's just my theory. And he's got he has a new hottie, right?
Well, I mean,
he's been married to her for a few years now.
But
I'm surprised he's still with her, quite right. frankly. By the way, you tweeted out, just retweeted the president.
Yes.
Who's going after the mooch. The mooch has been going after him. The president tweeting out, Anthony Scaramucci is a highly unstable nut job who is with other candidates in the primary who got shellacked and then unfortunately wielded his way into my campaign. I barely knew him till his 11 days of gross incompetence, made a fool of himself, bad on TV, abused the staff, got fired, wrote a very nice book about me just recently. Now the book is a lie? Said his wife was driving him crazy. Something big was happening with her. Getting divorced, he was a mental wreck. She didn't want him around. Now fake news puts him on like he was my buddy. Wow.
That was 8/11.
That was moments ago, 8/11, the president on Twitter. Man. Look at that.
What would it be like to be called a nut job by the president?
Well, see, this is, again, I got to know, was the mooch faking it then or was the mooch faking it now? All these people that change on the president, is what I don't understand is, were they faking it then or now? Which is it? Because I'm telling you, I have not seen, there's nothing I've seen that would tell me that you need to change if you were with him early on. But people do it, and I wonder, does that mean they were faking it then or are they faking it now? In other words, deep down, he still supports the president. Or maybe back then, deep down, the mooch never did. He just thought this was a good opportunity for him to get in front of the nation and blow a kiss at the press corps.
How do you do that?
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. All right? Good to see you. We're going to have a better relationship. Love you. Mooch out. I mean, that's what he was, right? Mooch out.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just, it's a highly unstable nut job. It's just, I love it. I love it. It's amazing. It really is, Dawn. And you know what I think, too, in terms of loyalty? I just think, I guess now you get rewarded if you turn on the guy and you come out and you write all this stuff, you say all this stuff. I guess you get rewarded by it. But it doesn't sit right with me. It's sort of like the, I don't know. I like loyalty in life, you know?
Yeah, I just think all these people, you are who you are. I don't think many people really, you know, make a complete metamorphosis or completely change. So I think that there are going to be people who suck up to powerful people, and then you sort of, you know, learn who and what they really are.
Like, for, that's a great point. For example, Corey Lewandowski is still Corey. He's potentially now mulling a run for the United States Senate in New Hampshire. Corey's just Corey. He hasn't changed in any way. He was, that's a good example of that. They had Stephen Miller on the front page of the New York Times yesterday. He's still all in. I guess the question I just have is just if other people are still all in, but you're not all in, maybe you never were all in, and maybe the whole thing was just an act, or maybe it's just an act now. I don't know. Certainly, if I were to tomorrow just completely turn on the president and just start going after him, I'd be on national TV in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do it because I don't believe in it, but I would have a platform. I guess that's why they do it for it. So everybody wants to be famous now, Dawn. You know what it is?
Well, that's just it. Some people will do anything. Some people have, I think it's your upbringing and what you're made of and all that stuff. But I do think there are some people who will sell their soul, who will do anything to be rich or to be famous.
Yeah.
I believe that.
It's why I'll never be woke, Dawn. No, I have an opportunity now. I could trash the president and become, I am who I am. I just do what I, that's what I'm saying. So if I have the opportunity now and I'm not taking it, why would I be woke down the road? You know what I mean? I got to just be me. I feel like Popeye right now. Yeah, so it's got to be me. All right, listen, I got a wonderful interview coming up for a second, in just a second.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you, Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Years ago, I met a very, very good friend of mine, a wonderful friend, and we worked in politics together. Now, she does something very important with her life, unlike mine. She saves people. And every year, I try to recognize the great work of this organization called the Zach Foundation, because as a dad with 2 kids, and we love going to the pool, and we love going to the beach, drowning is a big concern of mine and a lot of people. And it's something that affects all of us, because parents, grandparents, watching the kids at the pool, and you don't want to ever have a tragedy. So I'm very happy to welcome onto the show again, my friend, the executive director of the Zach Foundation, Megan Ferraro. Megan, welcome back.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Every year, I always want to focus on the great work you do, because you just wrapped up something called Zach Camps, where you work to teach kids how to swim and to avoid the dangers of drowning.
Yes, we just wrapped up visiting 20 different boys and girls clubs around the country, providing week-long water safety camps to children ages 5 to 9. And we wrapped up our season in Camden, New Jersey, just across the river, and had a really fantastic week there.
That's wonderful to hear. And I think a lot of people, when they think about drowning, right, they think of probably something out of the movies with a kid flailing his arms, yelling for help. And so there's kind of a relaxed nature a lot of times at the pools, because they figure, well, I'll be able to tell if a child's drowning. That's not the case.
No, in fact, drowning doesn't look at all like it's portrayed on the movies. It's quiet, it's silent, and unless you as a parent have your hands on your children and you can make eye-to-eye contact with them, they really are not being kept safe. We have to make sure that we teach parents and we educate parents that they are their child's first line of defense. We cannot rely on lifeguards, which is a particularly important message as we're headed into the Labor Day holiday weekend.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted you to come on the show, because Labor Day is a time where a lot of us will be going to the pool and the beach. And for some people, summer's closing in that sense. But also, a lot of lifeguards go away after Labor Day. But in many cases, the beaches are still there, right? And people might still go. But lifeguards can also be a major false sense of security, where you think, all right, the lifeguards are there. I'll have a cocktail and sit back and everything will be fine.
Exactly. And we really have to break that misconception that lifeguards are sort of babysitters for our children. They're not. They're there as a layer of protection. But really, you as a parent really need to serve as your child's guardian, ensuring that if you aren't in hand's reach of your child, if you can't visually see your child's eyeballs, they really are not being kept as safe as they should be.
And also to remember, drains can be a major problem. Karen, who's was the woman who founded the Zach Foundation, a terrible tragedy in their family. Tell us about what happened to her son.
Yes. So her son, Zachary, who was 6 years old, a really strong swimmer, became sucked to the drain and held underwater in his backyard swimming pool. The drain cover was not properly fitted and secured, and as a result, Zachary sadly drowned. And so the foundation has really worked to educate Americans all around the country about how to ensure that your drain cover is properly affixed to the pool. After Zachary's drowning death and the death of several other children, there was a law passed in 2008 that governs how public pools maintain their pool drains. That law does not apply to private pools. And so for those of you with pools in your backyard, I urge you to ensure that you have a anti-entrapment drain cover secured to your pool and that you have it maintained and checked every few years.
Megan Ferraro is with me. She's the executive director of the Zach Foundation, and their goal is to prevent drowning, which is still a problem in the United States of America, amazingly enough. And so every year I try to highlight this, and I'm grateful to be associated with this great organization. Megan, Karen's a wonderful person, and she and her husband have worked so hard on this, creating this foundation in their son's memory. And you guys travel all across the country to educate people. But I know you're local. I mean, you're right in our backyard, right outside of Philadelphia. And this is a very important organization for you. I mean, you and I worked in politics together years ago. You're working on presidential campaigns. You've chose to now run this great foundation because it's such rewarding work, right?
It is. You know, I became a mother right when I met Karen and Brian for the first time. I was really inspired by how they have taken this horrible, tragic loss in their life and turned it into a mission to save families and children from the heartache that they have suffered. In the United States, drowning is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4 and the second leading cause of death for children under the age of 14. And somehow that's a fact that goes unknown. And so we are now working with community leaders, elected officials, pediatricians around the country, and we are convening what we're calling drowning prevention action plans in certain cities. So this year we have selected Chicago, St. Louis, and Fairfield County, Connecticut to convene stakeholders and really develop community-specific action plans. I hope to bring this plan to Philadelphia in the coming years here, but it's a really important way for us to work toward eventually developing a national drowning prevention action plan, something that countries like Australia and New Zealand and Canada have in place. And so for us at the Zach Foundation, recognizing that drowning is a leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4, we really want to do what we can to make an impact in this space and drive those numbers down.
What do you think is the biggest mistake that parents make, for example, or grandparents when they have the kids at the pool or the kids at the beach? Is there one common problem you see? Is it talking to other adults? Is it alcohol? Is it a combination of things?
You know, it's simply distraction. We know that by and large, most parents are good parents who love their children, and it can be so easy to get distracted for just a moment, whether it's by picking up your phone to answer an email or a phone call, answering the front door, tending to another child who may have scraped a knee. It's so important that in those moments where you can have that brief lapse of supervision, that you pull all of your children out of the water, you bring them into the house with you. You must remember that unless you can see your child's eyes and physically touch them, they are not being kept as safe as they can be. And really, it's up to us as parents to provide that level of security to our children. And it's up to, you know, those of us at the Zach Foundation and other family foundations around the country to share the stories of the children that have been lost so that we can prevent this tragedy from happening to another family.
What I
we know
that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just was going to say, we know that we've had a particularly warm summer. We know that, you know, tides can be really tricky and difficult. And so these things can happen in an instant. And, you know, awareness and education is the key to helping save lives.
I noticed that you partner with some really amazing people who are Olympic swimmers, gold medalists, and that probably, the kids probably must love that, right?
They do. They do. We had Rowdy Gaines, who is a three-time Olympic gold medalist. He is a board member of ours and a spokesperson. We brought him into Camden last week to spend some time with the kids. He let them all hold his gold medal. He said that when the gold rubs off on their fingers, it brings them good luck. And it was amazing to see the look on the kids' faces looking at their fingers after they touched the gold medal. He swam with them and he raced them and he had such a good time with them, handing them all gold medals for completing the Zach camp at the end of the camp week. And it was really a fantastic experience for the kids and for us as the Zach Foundation. We're so fortunate to be partnered with him and other Olympic athletes, and it's so kind of them to give their time and energy and effort back to kids across the country.
Well, we don't want kids to be afraid of the pool or the swimming. In fact, that's the opposite, right? We want them to swim. We want them to be good at it and not be afraid of the water.
It's true. And so with that in mind, the founders of the Zach Foundation, Karen and Brian Cohn, authored a children's book called The Polar Bear Who Couldn't Wouldn't Swim. And this book walks kids through what we call the A, B, C, and D's of water safety. And so A stands for adults, never swim alone. B stands for barriers, particularly important that children understand that fences and gates around pools are meant to be respected and that they shouldn't cross them without an adult. For classes, both swimming classes and CPR classes, we know if CPR is administered at the site of a drowning, the chances of survival are significantly higher. And D is, of course, for drains, the reason the Zach Foundation was started. A way to teach children to tie their hair back when they're swimming, to not swim near drains at all, and for parents and children to be aware that if a drain cover looks loose or missing, evacuate the pool immediately and do not return until it has been repaired.
And that's all great information. Megan Ferraro, the executive director of the Zach Foundation. Keep up the good work. It's very important work you're doing, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rich and Don, and have a great day.
All right.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.